The Israel Report with Rolene Marks.
Rolene Marks, good afternoon. Let's jump straight in.
I can hear you. Maybe not out of both ears, but I can definitely hear you.
Go for it. I can hear you too, and that makes a good change.
Okay, so let's start with a historical trip tomorrow to the United Arab Emirates. This will be the first trip that Israeli Premier is taking to the UAE. Very interesting, some of the circumstances around it. It's been exposed that the Mossad chief, Yossi Cohen, has really tried to lay the groundwork for this visit. And the reason that there's a lot of hullabaloo is not just because it's historical, is because it is also so close to our elections. A little bit of fear that it could be maybe some political grandstanding on his part.
Yeah, that absolutely could be. And also interesting because with all the tension with Iran, it makes some kind of sense that they're talking right now. Let's talk about Eli Cohen. What's happening in Syria with the Russians?
Well, yesterday we broke the news on this very show, the fascinating statement from the Prime Minister about Eli Cohen, who can forget his extraordinary and yet heartbreaking story and all that Israel owes to this exceptional man who was a spy for Israel, really helped us win really helped us maintain our national security and really warned us of impending attacks that could have come from Syria. But yesterday, the big announcement that Russia is helping to look for the remains of Eli Cohen in the region of the Al-Yarmouk refugee camp. Now, we don't know too much, as one could imagine. This is a very secretive operation. But what we do know is that an item has been transferred to the Israeli authorities for examination. It's not clear whether it's a document or whether it's an item of clothing, but it has been passed on to Israel. And this is extraordinary because if the remains can be found, they can be brought back to Israel so that his family has that necessary closure so that he can be buried with the respect and the dignity of not just somebody who's fallen in the service of Israel, but also as in accordance with Jewish law.
Let's talk about the fact that your elections are just around the corner. Apparently, your ambassadors outside of Israel have already started voting.
Yes, they start to vote tonight. New Zealand will be the first embassy casting their vote. And then, interestingly, they go to the missions that are based in Bahrain, the UAE. So that's for me, quite a symbolic voting in an Israeli election from the Middle East. But the countdown has begun, so listeners expect copious amounts of election coverage. Although this one's not panning out to be terribly excited, you know, when you've done it four times in 2 years, the shine seems to wear off a bit.
So let's stay with that for a moment, Rolene. Is there any possibility, do you think, that the deadlock could be broken this time around?
All indications right now say no. Unless there is some major negotiation and agreements being forged behind the scenes, all we know is that the Likud and Yesh Atid have both gained in recent polls, but Sa'ar, who was touted as the new hope, in fact his party, yes, called the New Hope, they've dropped to quite significantly to about 10 seats. So, you know, any hope of Sa'ar possibly unseating Netanyahu seems to have fallen away. It's all going to come down, if the results are indicative of recent polls, it's all going to come down to the coalition building and to see if the Prime Minister, should he win and should his party win, be successful in building that coalition.
It seems to me that the only thing unifying the non-Netanyahu faction is trying to get Netanyahu out.
Well, this is it. A lot of people are feeling, and there is a sentiment in Israel that, you know, it's time for new energy, it's time for new leadership. There's a lot of question marks hanging up the charges that he's facing, his legal battles, a lot of question marks above some of the comments that he has made, you know, with regards to COVID-19. You know, we don't detract from his achievements, but, you know, we also have to remember that there are the achievements of a government, not of one person. And there's a lot of disdain, you know, in Israel for his propensity to say that he has kind of done it all. I have procured vaccines. I have been responsible. So, you know, it's interesting to see what the electorate responds to, and they're not responding too happy to that.
Fascinating story. Eswatini, what used to be Swaziland, cooperating with Israel to, pardon me, to bring in vaccines. Interesting, given South Africa's very cold relationship with Israel.
It is very interesting. You know, we're seeing increasingly not just Arab states, but African states warming up to the state of Israel. And Eswatini becomes the latest to approach Israel for help in rolling out the vaccine, in an exit strategy, and how to deal with the pandemic. This morning we got news that Brazil is the latest country to sign an agreement with Israel on vaccine research and production cooperation. And, you know, it's incredible that in the south of Africa, on the south of the continent, Malawi, now Eswatini, and I'm sure other states to follow. Zimbabwe, we spoke about a couple of weeks ago, also significantly warming their ties to Israel. So I'm just putting it out there, any members of the South African government who may be listening. You know, times are changing. Are you going to be lagging behind, or are you going to be joining the rest?
There's a thought, Ro. We're going to leave it there. We'll talk about flights and where they're allowed to fly in from now tomorrow. But thank you. Thank you for persevering through the technical difficulties, and we will chat again tomorrow.
Absolutely. Same time, same place.